Blog Talk Radio.
Birthdays. Rene Descartes, the great French philosopher, as he says, I think I am, or I am I think. One of those two. Also is the birthday and also the death of Franz Joseph Haydn. Papa Haydn was probably the first great modern symphony conductor. He did over a composer and conductor. 17th century, he wrote about 104 symphonies. All the later ones are more popular. And also he wrote the music that is used as both the German and the Austrian national anthem. Among the other birthdays today, Nicholas Gogol, famous Russian author. We have Arthur Griffith, who was the founder of that Irish terrorist organization, Sinn Féin. Other people think he's a patriot. Jack Johnson, the great black boxer who traveled with a white woman at the turn of the century. Very offensive. They had him arrested for various immorality crimes. There was a famous movie called The Great White Hope in which he defeated I think it was an Irish ethnic boxer. Jack Johnson was a great black athlete, but he was born at the wrong time and he shouldn't have flaunted his relationship with a white woman. It's unfortunate. The founder of he was the High Commissioner in Germany after World War II. He's also connected to the CIA and also Chase Manhattan Bank, John J. McCloy. Arthur Godfrey, who served in the U.S. Navy, I think in World War I, and he had the Arthur Godfrey Talent Show. He had a great gravelly bass voice, his birthday. Octavio Paz, a great Mexican author, his birthday. Richard Chamberlain, who played Dr. Kildare and later went to Hawaii and decided he was gay. He didn't politicize his sexual preference. Great actor. Barney Frank, who was one of the most corrupt gays in Congress. He also steered, he was running a male prostitution boy ring in Congress. And he got away with it probably because his sister, Ann Lewis, was a big honcho at the Democratic National Committee. Used to be on public TV. Also today, we had Pat Leahy, senior senator from Vermont, longtime chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, did nothing to help Stephen Mary, and there's a lot of questions about this guy. Among the deaths today, Haydn died on this day, and John Calhoun, the great Southern statesman, J.P. Morgan of the Banking Corporation, Newt Rockne, and here is an episode from Newt Rockne's famous Notre Dame locker speech. Newt Rockne was not Catholic. I think he later converted, but he was the great football. He was the guy who put football on the map for Notre Dame.
Collins, you and Colrick will play the ends. In the same backfield, Jimmy, you and Collins, Chetney, and Nimi. Now, the success of any team, man, based on team play, same as it's shown all year. Sacrifice, unselfish sacrifice. These other fellows, they say, are pretty good, but I think we're better. And I think if we get ourselves keyed up to a point where we're confident of that, why, the results will take care of themselves. All right, now in the kickoff, if we receive, the three men drop back on the receiver and block long, at all Notre Dame style. And if we kick off, with the rest of these teams walk, let's run down fast. This is fast as you can run. And then we go on defense. And on defense, I want the center in and out of that line, according to the situation. Use your old head. And I want you guards charging through as far as you can go. On every play. They expect the play right over you every time. And the tacklers, they want you to go in a yard and a half and then check yourself. Spread your feet, squat down low, and be ready with your hands and elbows. So you won't be sideswiped. But I want the ends in there fast every play. Every play, but under control. And you men in the backfield there, I want you to analyze before you move. And they throw a forward pass. The throw a pass, wait till you see the ball in the air, and then go and get it. And when they get it, boys, that's when they go on offense. That's when they go to. And don't forget they're going to pick it on one tackle they've got this week. We're going inside them. We're going outside them. Inside them and outside them. And when we get them on a run once, we're going to keep them on a run. And we're not going to pass unless our secondary comes up too close. But don't forget, man, we're going to get them on a run. We're going to go, 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 go. And we aren't going to stop until we go to that goal line. Don't forget, man, today's the day we're going to win. They can't lick it. And from the black out of the goal, the first was running back in there. Fight, 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 fight. What do you say, man? Hey.
That was the great Newt Rockne. Now, he was in a plane crash with Wiley Post and Will Rogers. That plane crashed in Alaska. And, of course, there was a famous movie with Newt Rockne, about Newt Rockne. Pat O'Brien, the actor, played Newt Rockne, and Ronald Reagan played one of the quarterbacks in the famous line, make one for the Gipper. So, of course, that helped Ronald Reagan's campaign. Also on this day, Jesse Owens died, the great another great black athlete, and he was the guy that he won so many races at the last Olympics before World War II, and Adolf Hitler refused to shake his hand and he left rather than present the gold medal to Jesse Owens. And here is a little excerpt from that Olympics. It's very important because blacks did not get the credit that was due them as they were American citizens and they held the flag up high. They did not dip the flag. So I'm just looking for it here. We got a lot of audios here, and I guess I got to clear some of these out. And also, it's really important that we recognize the contribution that blacks have made to American athletic history and all the suffering the early ones went through, even though they didn't falter. They respected the flag. They respected the country that gave them the opportunity. And unfortunately today we've got a bunch of people who think that the country owes them instead of they owing the country, that gave them the opportunity to do all these things. So I'm just looking for this right now. I think it's very important to play this. the Olympics here. We should have it. Also, this is the last month of March of this year, and we will have some specials later in the week. And I think this is very important. Here we go.
Well, no. The French king gave the Olympic salute. The thousands of Germans in the stand mistook it for the Nazi salute, and they ruined their approval. The Italian team passed in review. They paid their homage to Chancellor Hitler. The team from Great Britain. Audience, no chance for speculation. We were told to place our hat over our hearts. The crowd did not like it. Every nation dipped its flag to the Fuhrer as it passed the Chancellor's box. Every nation but one. The United States flag has never been dipped. Men and women of Canada. This was the supreme moment for Chancellor Hitler. The German team passed in review. 600 men and women. Members of the military. The Chancellor will now formally open the games. I proclaim open the Olympic Games of Berlin, celebrating the 11th Olympiad of the modern Olympic era. Given their freedom. The birds, symbol of peace, would spread their message to the world. An invisible signal directs them over the marathon gate and the altar that will hold the Olympic flame. Now the great moment has come. The Olympic flame arrives at the stadium.
Jesse Owens, here's his comment. He was a great, one of the great black athletes at that 1936 Olympics, as well as also with Ralph Metcalf, who later became the Chicago Alderman, and the Kelly Daly. Here's Jesse Owens' interview.
Jesse, what was your biggest thrill in Germany?
Well, Bill, the biggest thrill in Germany was when I won the 100-yard dash and the American flag went up and they were playing the Star Spangled Banner.
That was very copacetic. Now, how did you like the German meal?
Well, the German meals were all right, but it took too long to get them.
Well, Jesse, what is your immediate plan?
My immediate plan for the present time is that I'm going back home. I'm going back to the university to finish my year in college. I have another year, as you all know, and I want to get my degree in the end of June.
Will you turn professional?
Turn professional, I do not know. As I said before, I have another year in school, and I haven't any plans about turning professional whatsoever.
Jesse, what was your biggest thrill in Germany?
Well, my biggest thrill was when I won the 100-yard dash, 100-meter dash, rather. An American flag went up, and they were playing the Star Spangled Banner. And we stood up there and salute, and it was really a marvelous thing.
That was very copacetic. Now, how did you like the German meal?
Well, the German meals were fine, but it took a little bit too long to get them.
Now, also getting back to Germany and Austria, Franz Joseph Haydn, Papa Haydn, wrote the music, which is served as a German national anthem. Now, The Best Man was a movie that was derived from the book The Best Man by Gore Vidal, and it's the first major movie and book to deal with homosexuality and homosexual blackmailing in politics. And here's some clips, audio clips from that movie. Now, Senator Cooley is played by Charles Lawton, who in private life was gay, and Henry Fonda was also in this movie, hated Charles Lawton, I guess, maybe because sexual prevalence, we don't know. But these are some interesting audio clips from the film. And here, Charles Lawton, Senator Cooley, plays a southern racist, warns a Brig, who had a homosexual experience when he was in the army in Hawaii. Here, Senator Cooley warns this Mormon senator from Utah about devious men, and that still applies today.
You get to living like a mole in the whole of that old capital. Me, I just sit out here for a while most every day, winter and summer. You look like you've got the burden, son. Sit down. Got them treed, haven't you, Senator? Look out, they don't shinny down on top of you. You're dealing with devious men, Senator. Is it? Devious, powerful men. Hardeman Fletcher took a plane to Europe this afternoon. Mission to the President. Gonna make a study of world currency problems. You know that? Well, it'll be in the papers tomorrow morning.
Now, Cantwell is a Nixon-type character. He's played by Cliff Robertson. Henry Fonda plays a kind of a half-Kennedy, pseudo-Kennedy type. He gets this dirt on Cantwell, who has also had a homosexual experience when he was in the Army in Alaska. And here is how they deal with it in this audio.
Hey, Cantwell. I'm covered on every side. Go ahead, call Conyers. If you don't believe me, you've got his number.
Worse than a liar.
You have no sense of right or wrong, only what'll work. Well, this is going to work.
You're not going to use that now?
Oh, yes, yes. I'll use anything against you. I can't let you be president.
All right, Bill. It's your funeral. Against me, you haven't got a chance.
Now here, Lee Tracy plays a Truman-type character, retired. He asks, why the hesitation? He's got the dirt on camera.
Why are you hesitating this time?
Not being righteous, and I do want to win, but how can I in any conscience use a thing like this even against Cantwell?
What would happen if you had to make a quick decision in the White House, and maybe all our lives depended on whether you could act fast, and you just sat there, having a high old time with your divided conscience?
I'm not divided. I know what I should do, and this is not it.
Then you don't want to be king of the castle, so stay away from us. Be a saint on your own time, because you ain't fit to lead anybody.
Why, because I won't shoot off a cannon to kill a bug? Because I don't have that mindless reflex you confuse with strength. Don't you understand? If I start to fight like Cantwell, I lose all meaning.
If you don't start to fight, you are finished. Now, I am here to tell you this, that power is not a toy that we give to good children. It's a weapon, and the strong man takes it and he uses it. And if you don't go down there and beat Joe Cantwell to the floor with this very dirt...
Oh, it is very true. The power is a toy, and politics is very dirty, getting dirty, as we have the situation today. So, man, here's this other clip. Power is not a toy. It's a Terry Truman telling Fonda, the Kennedy, yes, you better get your act
together. Finished. Now, I am here to tell you this. That power is not a toy that we give to good children. It's a weapon. And the strong man takes it and he uses it. And if you don't go down there and beat Joe Cantwell to the floor with this very dirty stick, then you've got no business in this big league. Because if you don't fight, this job is not for you. And it never will be.
Unfortunately, the truth, and we've seen it with Mr. Rowe, that, he says one thing, and of course his handlers probably tell him what to say, but he doesn't have the backbone to back it up, and we're seeing this more and more. He's been outclassed. Nobody major in the world leaders respects this guy. My prediction is he'll go down as one of the worst, least effective presidents in American history, notwithstanding the fact that Richardson said on French TV that Obama was born in, was an immigrant, like the rest of them. So, you know, that is going to come out and stick in a way that they can repudiate it. They can ignore it, but they can't repudiate it. One of the other events today, Queen Isabella, who financed Christopher Columbus, who was supposedly Jewish, she expelled the Jews from Spain. They're known as mestizos. They went to countries like Turkey. Some of them actually ended up in northern China and the Philippines. And also in 1647, the Parliament in England, they were tired of the Charles II and the royal abuses, and they suggested to Cromwell he become Lord Protector. Well, he didn't protect the Irish. He abused them, and they still hate him to this day. And he was one of the Puritan, paranoid religious fanatics who attacked the Catholic Church, who attacked established religion. And when he died, his son succeeded him, but he didn't last long because he didn't have the cojones of his father, and people were tired of Puritanism, and it was this thing that came, an event that came in England called the Glorious Revolution. We'll get into that another day. If you come to San Francisco, you'll see Jerry Boulevard. Well, that guy was the first postmaster here in San Francisco, so he's commemorated by a major street called Gary Boulevard. In 1868, after the American Civil War, the Chinese sent their first diplomatic mission to the United States. In 1917, and this is relevant to the Caribbean, the United States purchased the from Denmark, the Virgin Islands. They call it, I think, the Danish West Indies. So we named them the Virgin Islands, so it's a protectorate of the United States. 1937, this took a lot of the youth, unemployed youth off the streets and out of charity and opened the CCC, the Civilian Conservation Corps, which later provided the manpower for soldiers and sailors and airmen in World War II. A lot of guys got their 3 squares a day, got out in the country, and George Christopher suggested to Clinton, and Clinton ignored it, that he reopen the Civilian Conservation Corps and offer these ghetto youth a chance to get out in the fresh air, to work on conservation projects, and to pay them. And so they had money for school or they'd get a trade. But, of course, Bill Clinton was too busy with other things. Among the other day, the first V8 engine was developed by Henry Ford. And, of course, it burns a lot of gas, but it was a great, powerful engine. 1933, the German Republic turned over power to Adolf Hitler, and they regretted it to this day. 1948, after the destruction of Europe, General George Collette Marshall was named Secretary of State, and Harry Truman and him came up with a plan to resuscitate Western Europe and rebuild it. It was called the Marshall Plan. In 1953, in the Eisenhower administration, a new cabinet office was set up called the Health, Education, and Welfare. The current secretary is this woman, Geffen Sebelius, whose husband is a federal magistrate. In 1960, we already went through some of the audio. The Best Man movie and book came out, and, of course, it's very controversial at the time, and, of course, Gore Vidal never failed to shock and entertain and inform. And in 1980, Carter, president, deregulated the banks, and we still had problems ever since then with this whole deregulation problem. Unfortunately, he was a one-term president. Well, then we'll be back Wednesday, and we'll have some updates and some more things. The rest of the story, we'll get into the public corruption that's going on here in California, especially Northern California, and how this scandal has started in the San Francisco Unified School District back in the early 80s and spread into the San Francisco Board of Supervisors or City Council and Aldermen, and then into the state capitol in Sacramento, and it will go into Washington, is our prediction. So, and it covers everything. And what makes the San Francisco, California scandal different from the scandals, Tammany Hall, the Kelly Daly machine, the Prendergast machine, Michael Curley in Boston, is the San Francisco, California public corruption involves pedophilia, video voyeuring, international sex trafficking, drugs. Back east, the public corruption was honest graft, as scholars say. It involved bribes and money and that sort of thing, and contracts. So we will end with our usual politics and poker, and we will be back Wednesday, April 2nd. Losing my voice again.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you 5. Tony, up to you.
Okay, Tony, what are you
going
to
do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too.
Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big Ace.
Ace Betts.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush, nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
We
Fritz Riley, are you thinking of Jack B or Jack Y?
I say, neither one. I never even met him.
I say, when you got a pair of Jack, better.
Politics and polka, politics and polka, shuffle up and talk and find a joker. He's a game for children, he's a game is rough. Decisions, decisions, like
who to pick,
how to play, not to bet,
when to call up.
All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Paratrays.
Bet 'em.
Little trades, good as gold.
I'll say. Raise your five.
I'll call.
I'll hold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Panyashinkovich. I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out. I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot! That's me!
Politics and poker, politics and poker, playing for a pot that's mediocre. Politics and poker, rubbing neck and neck. If politics seems more predictable, that's because usually you can stack the deck.
We'll be back April 2nd, Wednesday, 3:30 Pacific Standard Time. Go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AMICUSVERITAS, and AmicusVeritas.net. Good night.